Welcome to First Turn, where we play board games for the first time and discuss our immediate reactions. It's like book club, but for board games. I'm Eric, and with me is Kiwi and BP.
Hello.
Hi.
Today, we're going to be playing Baron Park, designed by Phil Walker Harding of Sushi Go Party Gizmos. Sushi Go, Geology, the New Expedition. I don't know what's that. The artist is Clemens Franz of Caverna Agricola Patchwork, and it is published by Lookout Games. The description is: up to 2,000 pounds in weight and over 10 feet tall, the bear is considered the biggest and heaviest terrestrial carnival in the world. I'm in on whatever this game is already. Of course, there's not just one bear. On the contrary, there are plenty of subspecies that differ from each other in various aspects. For instance, the Kodiak bear, Ursus Arctos Minendorfi, weighs about 2,000 pounds. The polar bear, Ursus Maritimus, weighs only 1,100 pounds, but it gets much bigger than the Kodiak bear, being as much as 11 feet tall. This is so intense.
I know.
Baron Park takes you into the world of bears, challenging you to build your own bear park. Would you like another polar bear enclosure or a koala house? The park visitors are sure to get hungry on their tour through the park, so build them places to eat. Whatever your choices are, make sure you get the next building permit and use your land wisely. Footnote: no, koalas aren't bears, but they're so cute, we can't leave them out of this game.
Just because they're called koala bears, but aren't they like a
They're marsupials.
I'm not sure what
the name. Also, you said the heaviest terrestrial carnival. And now I want to go to the heaviest terrestrial carnival in the world.
I thought he said carnivore.
No, he said carnival.
I hope it's a carnival. The mechanics are card drafting, grid coverage, set collection, and tile placement. The box art is a park ranger and a bear in front of landscape with Tetris blocks on it, which weird.
I'm assuming is the tile placement aspect is going to be like we have to kind of like dinosaur park or whatever.
All right. So based on all of this, would you pull it off of a shelf? BP.
I mean, all the exclamation marks makes it sound fantastic, but based on the art alone, probably not.
Yeah, I'm that description, just the obsession with bears is I got to play this. The box art is, I'm sorry, Clemens, but meh.
Dated.
And kind of just dated and generic.
Generic.
Kind of awkward.
No, I agree. I agree with you guys. I think just based on the art alone, I probably wouldn't even pick it up to get to the description. But if I got to the description, I would probably want to play it based on that. In terms of pulling it off the shelf, probably not. The fact that you can put all those games next to each other and they all basically look the same is kind of boring.
It's very weird that there's Tetris blocks on this. Like,
I'm confused. You don't look outside and it's like your backyard isn't part of a Tetris block of your neighbor's house.
No, I see everything as Tetris. It's like the Matrix.
The whole land is made of polyominoes.
You just wanted to say that word.
It's a good word.
I see dead polyominoes.
Oh, God. You've
really gone off the rails on this one. How do you think this plays, BP?
I mean, obviously with the Tetris things, we're going to have what I can't keep the dinosaur games straight, but there's the drawing one that you had to.
Welcome to Dinosaur Park.
Okay. Yeah. So it reminds me of kind of that aspect where you're going to have to place things in certain areas and shapes. So like patchwork, which obviously one of the games we've brought up with this mechanic things are. But I feel like that's the tile placement. Card drafting, set collection. We've got, you know, we're pulling cards into our hands. Yeah.
We're going to draw some bears and cards.
Yeah, different kinds of bears. We're going to have to put them in certain sections. Like the grizzly can only go in a cage like this big, and you can't place a grizzly next to a
koala. I hope we're not caging these animals.
Oh, we are. I bet you we are. Like we're containing them like in the dinosaur park islands.
All right. So we're caging bears. So we think there's going to be some different terrains.
Yeah.
And those are going to be the
different
Tetris
types of
pieces.
Bears. Yeah. Because you can't have a polar bear like in, I don't know, the Sierra Nevada.
Okay. So yeah. So I bet we're going to have like Arctic tiles. And then the more you put together and then you have a polar bear on there, then you get more points, like a King Domino thing where like the more of that type touch the bear.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. We got it. We know the game. All right. BP, bears.
Well, you asked me because I was like, I don't know the history of bears. But then you were like, do you know anything about zoos? And I just started with the whole Zheng He thing. But so Zheng He was early 15th century, not really explorer, but he was an admiral who then sailed the treasure fleets for the Ming emperor at the time. And I'm going to forget off the top of my head. I want to say it's like Yongli or something like that. And not really exploring, but he went around the Indian Ocean area. He did 7 voyages and basically went around like dropping off gifts and kind of like showing might diplomatic mission. But like, of course, China had all the good stuff at this time. Right. And so like he's basically like going around with here's this like fantastic porcelain and this silk. All right. Like, you want to send anybody back with us or anything back with us, like set up some tribute sort of system going on. At least like that's what scholars kind of think. We don't know because all his records were burned, but that's a whole nother story. But one of the things like the whole zoo part reminds me is that part of the collection of things were exotic animals that he collected. And so on one of his voyages, he went like all the way to East Africa and came back with a giraffe. And so you just have to imagine like a giraffe in 15th century Beijing. So this is like you hear about all of these things. Like Charlemagne, right, had like an elephant that was sent from one of the Islamic caliphs. You know, like, I mean, rich people have been collecting animals apparently for thousands of years and have led to our modern zoos where you can go see koalas and natural-esque type habitats, even though koalas aren't bears.
Okay, so bear park is the next big thing. In order to be successful, you must skillfully fit together enclosures, animal houses, and green areas and use every available inch of land. Animal houses and enclosures are worth points and are more valuable if you build them quickly. Construction crews let you claim more land to build onto. When one player fills their park, the game is over and the player with the most points wins. The starting player is the player who last visited an animal park.
Mm.
I do not remember the last time I visited an animal park.
I mean, I took Paxton, but that was probably a few years ago.
Yeah, I think you beat me, though. I think we took him to the safari park.
Aquarium? Do aquariums count?
Oh, I mean, that is a type of animal park, but we went together for that one.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure I've been to the Phoenix Zoo within the last 2 years.
Oh, okay, then you would win.
All right. So play is going to go around the table clockwise. And you're going to do 3 steps per turn. And the game is going to end when somebody completes all 4 of their park areas. And we're going to start with 1 park area. So the 3 things you're going to do, you're going to place a tile. So you're going to take place exactly 1 tile from your supply in your park. If you don't have any tiles in your supply, you must pass. Tiles must fit within the marked spaces of the park, so you can't overhang the park tile, you can't overlap another tile you've placed, and you can't cover the pit. So each of the tiles or each of the park tiles will have a pit. One of the squares will have a pit in it. You may rotate, flip the tile as much as you wish, except for the first tile you place. All tiles must be orthogonally adjacent to a previously placed tile. So that would be that.
Look at you, all your favorite words in one game.
So after you've placed your tile, you're going to evaluate icons. So on your zoo tiles, there are different icons. So you've got green wheelbarrows, white cement trucks, orange excavators, and construction crews. If you cover up a green wheelbarrow, you get to take a green area of your choice. And the green areas are playgrounds, toilets, food streets, and rivers.
I love that there are toilets. Like, who thinks about toilets?
If you cover a white cement truck, you get to take the top animal house from the pile of your choice. So we've got koalas, pandas, polar bears, and goby bears. Orange excavators, if you cover one of those, you get to take an enclosure of your choice from the supply board, or you can take any green area or animal house. So there are tiles going 6, 7, 8 for each of the types of bears. So we've got like a jungle kind of maybe eucalyptus for koalas. There's icebergs for polar bears. Looks like a desert sandscape for the goby bears. And then there's a bunch of bamboo for the pandas. And then finally, there is the construction crew, which lets you take the top tile from one of the two piles of the park areas. So it must be orthogonally placed to an existing park area so that they're aligned. So if you guys remember in Steam Park, you could kind of misalign them so that you'd have like, you know, one row and then you'd have another row right above it, but it wouldn't be in line with a previous board that you placed. So in this one, they have to be aligned. So all four squares have to line up with the four squares from a previous board. And then you're limited to four park areas. And then finally, if you fill up the whole park area or that tile, you're going to take a bear statue. So you're going to take the highest value bear statue still remaining. So they start at 14 and go down to 3. And you're going to place it on the pit of the tile you just finished.
And when do you draw new tiles?
You only draw a tile if you cover one of the three things. So the wheelbarrows, the cement trucks, or the excavators. If you have to pass because you don't have any tiles in your supply that you can play, you're going to take a green tile of your choice and then your turn is over. So like I said before, the game ends when a player completes all four of their park areas, and then the other players will get a final turn, and then you're going to add up all the values of the tiles in your park, and the player with the most points is the winner.
Well, let's play.
We just finished a game of Baron Park. To recap, BP had 62 bear points. I had 81 bear points, and Kiwi won with 84 bear points.
Why are they bear points?
Because it's bears. And they're just regular points, and Eric's just making it up.
Okay.
Because the points don't matter.
What was your winning bear strategy, Kiwi?
Cover my board. I don't think there could be any other strategy. I just tried to think ahead on which pieces I wanted to add, but I didn't really think that far ahead because like I grabbed a panda piece that I never got a chance to use.
BP, I'm more interested in your strategy.
My losing strategy?
I think you had a specific strategy.
Well, I was trying not to take the green pieces. And then Kiwi made me take green pieces because he's like, you're going to keep having to pass and then just take these things. And so then I kept taking toilets because I wanted as little like green spaces as possible because I wanted to save room for the point things.
BP had all the toilets.
Toilets are good to have.
The toilet strategy is a strategy.
Yeah, it apparently did not help me win.
No, but you definitely had a toilet.
And it made us have to look up the rule that says, hey, if you are sucky at this game,
yeah, we'll get to here that are in the some rules alternatives. Section.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
All right. Yeah. So I think the strategy is pretty straightforward of get pieces and put them on your board. Just be better at planning ahead, I guess. All right. The theme.
Could have been anything. I don't get the bears. I mean, Dinosaur Park was a little bit more dinosaur-y because like then you couldn't like put certain things next to each other, at least like with that one too. You got to watch security, stuff like that. Like I didn't get bears.
The Welcome to Dinosaur Island, which is a roll and write, which did have like you wanted to put certain dinosaurs next to each other. You didn't want to put carnivores next to herbivores because if something happened, the carnivores could eat the herbivores. And there was like a bunch of different like placement rules. I feel like the only placement rule on this was put it on the board and if it fit, it fit.
Right.
Don't cover a pit.
Yeah, the pit didn't really have anything to do with bears either.
It could have been anything.
Yeah, there's no theme. I mean, bears are cool.
And I think you said, yeah, you said it while we were playing, like they only had four different bears. So why did they fill a spot with an animal that's not a bear? Like I get it. Koalas are cute, but it could have just been a zoo.
There's no theme. I mean, it's really what it came down to. Yeah. I thought, oh, you want bigger enclosures at the start where you're going to try to like put them next to each other, King Domino style. And I was like, at least that makes sense in that you have like one big polar bear enclosure. It's just putting blocks on a board. The art, BP.
I feel like you could barely tell if they were bears.
Well, I think at one point you said, where are the bears?
Yeah. They're like colored squares. I mean, some of the toilets are cool. I do like the one French fry stand, but like.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same kind of boring-ish Clemens Franz art.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, we're pretty harsh on Clemens Franz, but I feel like he's kind of gotten bored with this too. So
yeah, it's just crazy how it's like. I mean, I get it that you have an art style, but at the same time, it's like when you're drawing for all different kinds of games, like I feel like you could take all the games illustrated by Clemens Franz, you could mix up all the pieces and you could play any game
with any of them
illustrated by him and the art would all go together.
Yeah. It's almost like he's just trying to churn them out rather than
create something unique.
I'll say on the little grid that holds the pieces, I like all the little doodles on it. Little bear doodles. Mm-hmm. Like that's my favorite part of all of the art was those.
Yeah.
I like the little doodles on it. So that was cool. But otherwise, mechanics, Kiwi.
I mean, I don't know. I don't feel like it did anything new.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe it came up before all the rolling rights, which sort of do the similar sort of covering things up and getting bonuses and things like that. It's basically as raw of a Tetris placement game as you can get, right? Pretty straightforward on the pick up Tetris piece, place it. Like in Patchwork. So like in that one, you have sort of that jumping ahead on the tile track because the tiles are placed around the board. So there's that piece of like, I really need that piece and sort of that competitiveness of like, do I jump ahead and get that piece and leave these other ones or do I get more? Mm-hmm. So there's kind of like that whole like drafting element to it. Along with the tile placement, what are some of the Paris one? There's sort of that you're kind of setting the board and there's like limited placement you can do. So you've got to think ahead. And then there's all those
and
little.
You want to think about like where they are because there's the lights. Remember,
and you're
the
trying
lights.
To do those big spaces. So there's more of like you're building the grid, you're placing the Tetris pieces, but you're also sort of planning out sections and then you're trying to get the bonuses.
And that one had phases.
So what I was going to bring up is, so in Patchwork, even if you, so you were able to jump up to three tiles forward, but the big thing is you had to be able to pay for the tile. So you had the buttons and that was your currency. So what I think is interesting is last game we played, you know, with a card drafting game where you didn't have to pay for the cards. You just had to go to a spot that gave you the card. Mm-hmm. So this was similar in that, you didn't have to pay for the tiles. You got tiles based on what you covered up.
Which is how I ended up with so many green spaces.
Yeah, which is very similar to how pirates, if I went to a port, I got a merchant card or a port card. If I went and plundered a merchant ship, I got a merchant ship. But it like that felt like it thematically, it felt like it made sense. And this one, it was just like I covered up a space and I just got a tile. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, like I just, that wasn't as appealing to me as the last game where it was, I purposely went to places to get a card.
It's not just thematic though. Like in that one, we like that because it simplified the card drafting part, but there were so many other parts of the game to be thinking about.
Right.
Whereas in this, it was really just you're picking tiles and placing them. Right. And so compared to some of the other Tetris style games, which I've said, I'm not the best at them, but I do like them. Like this just felt there wasn't as much to it, I guess.
Yeah.
Even though we were apparently terrible at it. So getting into that, the rules, BP, what do you think of learning the game?
Mixing that with the strategy, it took me a while. I mean, there were the first couple rounds where I was like, I'm sorry. I know I was trying to pay attention when you were explaining Kiwi, like, but I just... It took a couple of rounds and then it was like, oh, this is it. And this is how I want to play. But the way I want to play is not going to work. And I don't know. It wasn't as like quick and easy to learn. And then once it came around and we figured it out, I guess it was okay, you know, but it was still like, then we were all left with at the end, like, what do we do with these open spaces?
Yeah, I would say like the learning curve, it was, I mean, there's not much mechanically, but then it was like, well, I'm going to start placing pieces. Our normal style of like playing figured out as we go didn't, I felt like was not conducive to this because I was like, okay, now I get more boards. Is that what I do? And then you're like, yeah. And then I was like, okay. And then I just sort of put a board on and didn't really, But yeah, like you said, by the time like I really got the game, it was like, well, here we are, I guess.
Having read the rules, I kind of understood more what was going on. And I think, you know, if you are play style, or at least for you guys, you know, having listened to the rules and just kind of like doing it, it's not really, especially with starting out with such a small board, like you really have to be careful when you don't have a lot of space on where you put your tiles, because then you could really screw yourself, which I think happened to BP a little bit.
Happened to me too.
Yeah, just as Eric was saying, like when he was like, oh, you want more boards? Like I hadn't even thought about that. Like my first thought was filling up my first board before even getting
exactly.
a second board.
I think but I did the same.
I feel like it would have been more conducive to try to open up as many boards as quickly as possible and then fill in.
Yeah, I mean, because there's even a polar bear enclosure that is, you know, five across. So you have to open up another board. All the other big tiles you can fit on a single board as long as you have the shape available. But there is one tile that has to overlap to another.
And a lot of them would be much easier with multiple boards open. So I think, opening his boards quickly.
And then we put ours all in cubes, but do you have to put them in cubes or you could lay them all flat? Yeah.
Yeah. The only rule is you can't go below your starting one. So basically, you know, you can't block your entrance to your bear park.
And then our big rule issue, I guess.
Yeah, so the game ends when somebody fills up all of their park areas, but it got to the point where I needed toilets, and so did Eric. We both needed toilets in order to finish our park areas, but BP's strategy of taking all of the toilets did not give us enough toilets for one of us to finish our board to end the game. There is no contingency in the rule book to tell you how to do that, and we had to Google it because it's not in the rule book. And a person who their avatar and all that stuff on BGG, when you look up their information, it says they've been an editor at Lookout Spiel since 2016, said, hey, a variant, if you you can play with 1x1 tiles so they don't run out, you can replace them with coins or whatever. Someone asked if it's an official ruling, and the response from that person was, I'm not sure it's the rule book's job to cover cases of deliberate bad play. Consider the variant official.
So I'll just say, hey, Lookout Games, fuck you.
Yeah. Wow.
That's literally their job, is to put the rules in the rule book.
So somebody responded with, I'm not sure it's a good idea to market a family-friendly game that implicates all players as incompetent if they can't achieve a relatively difficult goal.
Agreed.
And then the person said, hey, I didn't say that. What I meant is, as far as I know, this hasn't happened in a game yet. We consider this case on a purely theoretical basis. However, it turns out that a rule for this case is indeed required. We'll add it. We didn't feel like adding rules for theoretical cases would help anyone. Families won't run into these kind of things. It's usually the gamers who think of stuff like this.
I mean, I think we didn't really think that hard and we ended up in that situation.
No, yeah. And I feel like if you had like kids too, like, come on, like if it's supposed to be a family friendly game, like kids are going to struggle. I feel like with
because there were a lot of times where I was like, I could have needed a lot more one than two pieces just because of.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but we're just not great at them. So I guess we shouldn't play your games. Like,
I don't think I would go that far. Like, there's still games from Lookout Spiel that I would play. And I wouldn't just say like, oh, I'm not going to play that because it's from Lookout Spiel.
I mean, yeah, especially since it's one random person on the forums. But
bad press.
Yeah. Yeah. It does leave kind of a bad taste in your mouth where it's just like, you guys are dumb for having that happen to you. And she's like, well, I don't feel dumb. I just,
I clearly have stated I'm not good at these kind of games, but like I do enjoy playing them. So I don't know. I think the job of the rule book is to give you the rules and it should account for situations. So
yeah,
and maybe it is super rare and we just are lucky, but I feel like it has to come up occasionally. All right. Player interaction. None.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty much a solitaire.
I barely looked at your guys' boards.
I never looked at either of yours.
Yeah, I definitely wasn't. Yeah, I think the only interaction you get is if you take one of those big single tiles, and that's not really interaction. That's just...
No. I guess if you really wanted a single tile and somebody else took it, but that didn't really come up.
Nope.
Would you play it again, Kiwi?
No.
I was kind of curious what your response would be.
No, I'd rather play Patchwork.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
I think the only good thing about this one is you can play more than one person, whereas Patchwork is only a two-player game.
Yeah, a lot of these are two-player. I was trying to think of all the ones we've played that are the Tetris style. So we played Patchwork, Paris, Tiny Towns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is way more fun. I feel like
we played a couple more, haven't we?
Couldn't you call Pat Mad King Ludwig one?
Yeah, no, but it's not because you can... Yeah, because the Tetris style, you have to lay it to a grid, so you're restricted by that. Whereas Mad King Ludwig, you can lay it out however you want.
And then all the roll and write ones.
Yeah, there's a lot of roll and writes that kind of are similar. And I would say I'd play pretty much any of them over this, which is surprising. This is a very highly touted game.
Yeah, I was excited. Like, the designer, like, we've played other games that he's like Sushi Go, Gizmos. Yeah. I really liked those games.
Yeah, we like the designer.
Between that and the response from, you know, somebody who works for the company, it was just kind of like, ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, even before we got to that point, I was kind of pretty mad on it, just in terms of, I didn't find it that interesting. I was like, all right, I take a tile, I place a tile. Like, I thought the other ones I was a little bit more engaged in, I guess. All right. Any other comments on the game?
No.
Did you guys answer whether or not you'd play again?
Oh, I no.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was. Yeah.
I thought we already kind of added that in.
Yeah. I'm a no. I would.
Like, even before that, you had to look up the rule with the comments. Like, I was already like, man, this is kind of boring. Like.
Yeah. I just wasn't that interested. And even like, there's so many of these Tetris style games out there that I play a different one.
Yeah. I mean, and when you said it came out in 2017, I was just like, then why is it so?
Yeah. Why does it feel dated?
Yeah.
It does feel very dated, which is surprising.
Yeah.
Yes.
But that, you know, a lot of people like it. So I guess maybe
it's just us.
I guess give it a shot if you like it.
Yeah, we just suck.
We just were terrible.
Apparently, if we didn't suck so much, we'd be. Yeah.
I mean, we suck at a lot of games and still enjoy them. So
yeah,
yeah.
All right. That is Baron Park. Bears. Woo, Bears.
Well, if you have any recommendation for Tetris style games that may be less challenging or more interesting, I don't know, send them our way or give us your thoughts about Baron Park. You can do so via firstturntabletop@gmail.com or go ahead and comment to one of our postings on Twitter and Instagram. Follow us at firstturncast. And the podcasting Camel Bear says, please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcatchers. What do you guys think? I did it bear style.
I don't know.
Where are the bears?
They're in their houses in the second column here. Animal houses.
Kiwi really is. He's like, oh my God, you guys, if you would just listen to me.
Look, I was looking at bears while you were doing the rules.
Yes, I am aware.
We're going to have a toilet shortage.
Yes, the great toilet shortage of 2020.